Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I am so excited about tonight's show, and thank you everybody for listening to Arming Champions Radio. I'm Alan Fisher. My wife, Carolyn Fisher, is taking a break, but I have on our radio show tonight, Jason Ingelson, and Jason's a good friend. I know Jason because, it's been 36 years ago, I actually arm wrestled against his dad in some of the arm wrestling championships that I went to. Dick Ingelson is his dad's name, and Dick is an amazing athlete even to this day. I think he's just a little bit older than I am, if I'm not mistaken, but keeps himself in great shape and even is actually headed to the World Amateur, the World Championships for arm wrestling in Malaysia here soon. But my friend on the radio show with us tonight, Jason, has been an athlete his whole life. Jason, how old are you real quick?
Right now I'm 35 years old.
35, wow. Because by the age of 10, you earned a black belt degree in martial arts. At the age of 15, you had won numerous junior Olympic titles. And by the age of 20, you won many Olympic-level titles. What was it? 1997, you were considered one of the most outstanding boxers and were given Boxer of the Year Award, following Roy Jones, of all people, Oscar De La Hoya, and Floyd Mayweather, who also had the same title. Jason was rated number one in the United States, get this, folks, 1997, 1998, and 1999. He won many world titles, finished off his career with an outstanding record of 150 wins. And not only that, Jason's proudly in the Hall of Fame for amateur boxing. Wow. And there's so much more that we're going to talk about here, Jason. But, hey, congratulations on all your amazing achievements.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you again.
You know, when I think of you, one thing I like to do, Jason, is I like to go back to the beginning. We can talk about the present. We can talk about a decade ago. I want to talk about, what is it that drove you forward to actually get yourself involved in martial arts? I mean, your dad was an arm wrestler. Your daughters, your sisters actually played tennis, and you got yourself in martial arts. Well, what's the connection there? What was that?
Well, basically when I was very young in kindergarten, I was a little small for my age, and my mother, she saw me in school. She saw me as I was walking by, other kids would bump into me, kind of like push me over. And she was nervous. She didn't want her son to be bullied and to be picked on. So what she decided to do, she decided to enroll me in martial arts. And that was at 5 years old. So she put me in martial arts. So she actually started me off.
And did you go reluctantly or did you go willingly?
I went willingly. I liked it a lot because it built up my confidence, my self-esteem, and it just really built myself up. It gave me an inner strength inside where of confidence, and to where I was, I had full confidence whenever I went to school, wherever I was, whatever I was doing, and it also helped me out as well with being smart, you know, in school, focus, and that's what the discipline and dedication, that's what martial arts did for me, and it went great. But it was kind of like it was a letdown because at the age of 7, while I was in martial arts, everything was going great. I was actually hit by a car.
Oh.
And I was actually placed in a body cast at 7 years old.
Wow.
And it was like the doctor said I have had little chance of having an athletic life. And so I was real down. But then months went by after I got on a body cast, I was able to get back into martial arts, and that's when I stuck with it, stayed focused with discipline, dedication, and I, at 10 years old, I was a first degree black belt of martial arts.
Wow. So, talk about focus and dedication and an unwillingness to give up in spite of the odds. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, just stayed with it no matter what.
You know, looking at your next sport, and you're quite an athlete. Looking at your next sport, which is obviously boxing, what was the connection between the martial arts and boxing?
Well, in boxing, because in martial art, well, I played while I was in martial arts. I was in my father Dick. He had me in different sports, as in football, and so football was one of them. Football, baseball, soccer, but in football, I had a friend. He was a boxer. It was actually the head coach's son. So one day I invited him to my karate dojo because he was a boxer. I said, come check out my dojo. So he came one day. He was 10 years old as well. And we had a sparring day inside my dojo. And his first day there, and he's like, with the gloves on, he beat everybody up in the whole entire gym. Just beat everybody up. And I was like, it took the sensei, head sensei, like a big grown man, to kick him in the stomach, knock the wind out of him. But then I was sitting there thinking, like, man, like, wow, maybe let me try out the boxing gym. Let me see where this kid comes from, where he's from. So my dad took me, it was in Baldwin Park, California, Southern California, and so took me to the gym, and I'm like, okay, let me check this place out. And my dad, he's sitting there bragging to the head coach of the gym. My son, he's karate national champion, martial arts, black belt, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And the coach was like, okay. He looked at me and said, all right, we'll hop in the ring. So he put me in the ring. First day. I'm like, because my dad was bragging so much. I was the only white guy in the gym. It was mainly Hispanic, and so I was a minority. So I got in the ring, and the other guy, I was at this time, I was 10 years old. I was like 60 pounds. And so I was, okay. And then the other
pounds.
Kid I was in the ring with, he was like at a, I did not know this, but he just won the 55-pound national championship tournament. I didn't know this. So I get in the ring, and in martial arts and boxing, two different things. I was in Kempo karate. It's like when we have our matches, it's one punch, stop, point here. 3 points is you win. And in boxing, it's 3 minutes nonstop.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I get in there, my first time get in there, and I hit this kid with the right hand. Boom! He came back with 10 punches. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, wow, what was that? I hit him again with another hard shot. Boom. He came back with 10 more punches and just beat me up so bad.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. But the thing that made me was I came back the next day, and I stuck with it. And that's
wow.
What my first big step right there is coming back the next day. And that's a big lesson I learned in life.
Yes, that was you're being molded, you might say.
Yeah, I sure was molded. That's for sure. And it was difficult to understand because I was a black belt, national champion in martial arts, and then now all of a sudden,
yeah, 10 years
I'm
old,
on the
50 pounds.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's incredible. So we went to the Junior Olympics and your other Olympic titles. Was that then for boxing?
Yes, that was in boxing, because
wow.
I was in boxing by the age of, that was at the age of 13 years old at my first Junior Olympics, at the age of 13 years old, and I won the Junior Olympic gold medal in my division.
That was only 3 years later.
Yes. Yeah,
How often did you go and train?
I was there 5 days a week, sometimes six.
Oh, man.
It was like 5-6 days a week, and I've come to learn. I mean, over the years of boxing, it's even when I'm not at the gym, I'm training. It's a 24-hour thing. You have to stay focused, because in boxing you get seriously hurt, like in any sport, but especially in boxing, it's you're taking shots to the head, which is so if you're not focused, then it's not going to work out too good for you.
So tell me, did you ever go back and get to fight against the 55-pound national champ?
Okay, so as it went by, as time went by, I started sparring him again, and next thing you know, about a year later, I was handling him, taking care of him, and all of a sudden he kind of disappeared from the gym.
Yeah, you scared him.
Yeah, he was national champion, and all of a sudden he disappeared. Because we were boxing a lot, we started sparring the ring. That's what it's called, sparring. And next thing you know, he was gone more days than he was there, which
incredible.
Was only a couple. Yeah.
So obviously, as an athlete and a boxer, you're growing up, and you know you don't win everything. You do get challenged, right? So there were some people that actually. That challenged you to get better through wins and losses and defeats and all that kind of stuff, right? So as a young man, I mean really young actually, young teens, how did you actually deal with that? Like, how would you deal with the losses? How would you deal with getting defeated? You've been in sports for over three decades, and, you know, You never train to lose. You train to achieve, to win. But reality is, sometimes you don't. So when you first started taking losses, how did that affect you?
Well, actually what happened was, after I won the Junior Olympic gold medal, and then I turned 14 years old, during this time, my mother, who I lived with, lived close to the boxing gym, she moved an hour away from the gym. So, and I wanted to continue to box, but the deal was my dad. My dad and mom, they divorced when I was young, but I had a close relationship with both of them. I lived with my mother. Anyways, my dad would drive up an hour to my house, pick me up at 2:30 in the afternoon when I got out of school, and bring me back down to the boxing gym where I trained. And then he would go to work, and when he got off, I worked at 4:30 in the morning. He'd pick me up and take me back home so I go back to school. And I did this 3 days a week. But now doing this, it took a big toll on my body. I wasn't I went from the Junior Olympic gold medalist to I started my confidence went down, and I wasn't doing so good in the boxing ring. I was losing some matches, and it was not going good. So what happened was, my coach, he sat down and talked to me. He told me, Jason, if you want to do this sport, you're going to have to you have to move down with your dad, and we'll continue to train, because in boxing, you're taking shots to the head, and it's not very good, and you're not doing so good. If you don't stay focused in the sport 100%, then it's not going to, then I don't want to see you box. So what I did was, I decided to make that decision to move from my mother's to my father's, which was the hardest decision in my life. It was so hard. I sacrificed it. I moved down, so I'm with my dad, and I'm training, and now my confidence was not so high during this time. So it was my coach, he decided he had a plan to build my confidence up. So what he did was, every time we went to boxing, amateur boxing on the weekends there in California, there's matches on Friday or Saturday and Sunday. There are different shows around town. They're called different smokers. Anyway, so we'd go there, and what he would do was, he would match me up against a guy who was like 5 pounds heavier than me. Someone bigger than me, and plus he'd say, Who do you like, Jason? Who do you look up to? Who do you think is good? So I point out different guys. He kept that in his mind. He knew who those guys were. Those guys were a little bigger than me. So what he did was, he put me up against those guys. They were heavier than me, and they're bigger than me. And so when I was fighting him, I was so scared. I didn't know what the heck. What is he doing? Is he crazy? I'm gonna get killed in the ring. But what my coach did was, he had to build my confidence up. So after the first round, I go in there. After the first round, I'm like, I come back after the first round, I'm like, wait a second here. I can handle myself. This guy ain't all that. I can do this. So my comps was building. So the second round I went out there, I did better. And I would actually lose the fight. But at the end of the fight, I was so happy, because I was like, man, I can hang with this guy. And so it's not nothing to me. And so I was losing. I lost about three or four fights in a row. But I believe it was four or five fights in a row I was losing. But each time after I lost, I had a smile on my face. And people couldn't understand it. People watching the fight were in attendance, because it was like, as I was losing, I was winning. My confidence was building more and more and more. And about after the fifth or sixth loss, I went to a national championship tournament, and I completely dominated. And I took off. It was like 30 to 40 fights in a row, just unstoppable, beating everybody in my division, national champion, and people in the boxing community were like, what the heck? Where did this come from? How the heck did Jason do this? They didn't know what the plan. My coach had a plan, and that's why he put me up against the best competition, build my confidence up, and next thing you know, I'm on top again.
You were on top. Oh, my goodness. What? Rated number one in 1997, 98, 99, winning many world titles. So it sounds to me like you got to do some traveling as your boxing career took off.
Yeah, I was able to travel to different countries at 17 years old. Well, actually, at 16 years old, I went to Cuba for the Junior World Championships in Cuba. I was there. It was a great experience. I got the international experience with third world countries, and I learned. And it was like I was so thankful for what I had back home. I was so thankful, and I saw how blessed I am in the United States compared to other countries. It was like my eyes really, really were open. So I'm so thankful I had that international experience. And yes, I had a great time in different countries, but at the same time, I was like, wow. After about a week there, if that's a few days, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go back home. it was fun, but I was like, wow, okay. But my eyes were open, and I'm so thankful that I was able to travel, have that experience.
Our guest is Jason Ingelson, and he has proudly been put into the Hall of Fame for amateur boxing. I want to just give a shout-out to our sponsors, if I can. there's a war going on out there, and Jason, I think you could relate to this, against the nutritional health of our children. Every day we're fighting convenient foods, fast foods, television advertising, and their own busy schedules. I think you can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
It's a war many of us feel we're losing, right? Especially when we hear that, or we learn that 40 million children in America have high cholesterol levels, and 70% will develop the beginning stages of hardening of the arteries by the time they're 12 years old. All because parents aren't paying enough attention to what they feed their children. But there's hope. There's ongoing research, a multi-year study with the Children's Health Study with Juice Plus, which is dedicated to improving the state of children's health and nutrition around the world. You can check that website out, find out more about it at energynutrition.net. Let's get back to our guest. Jason, it's really an honor for anybody to be put in a Hall of Fame or even to be considered to be part of those list of people to get in there. Tell us about how that worked out. Where were you when you heard the news? How did you take it? And where is this Hall of Fame we're speaking about?
Well, what happened was how I was inducted in, it was in 1997. That was my first year in the Olympic level division. I was the youngest. I was 17 years old, and I became number one in the United States and pound for pound, one of the top fighters in the world. I'm winning tournaments in countries around the world, and I was given the outstanding award of Boxer of the Year in 1997. And Floyd Mayweather had just won the previous year, and then it was Oscar De La Hoya was one of the winners, Roy Jones Jr., and so being selected as Boxer of the Year, oh my, that was amazing. It was completely amazing. I'm so thankful. And from there, that just boosted my confidence up even more. And with my training, I mean, everything, I'm so thankful. And it was a big, big boost. And I'm so thankful to be inducted with the award of a Boxer of the Year.
Where were you when you heard the news?
I was actually at my home in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I received a phone call, and oh my goodness, I was so happy and so thankful. And it was great. And it was kind of funny because I was selected as Boxer of the Year. And then they have something called Athlete of the Year, of course. That's all the sports put together. And I did not win that. I was in the top three. And at the time, it was 1997, I found out who won the first award. Now, at this time, I didn't know this name. I'm like, they said, "Oh, sorry, Jason, you didn't win athlete of the year, but you're top in the top three of box of the year." And you're like, "In the top three?" I'm like, "Okay, who won it?" And said, "Golf. Golf was one of them. Golf won it." I'm like, "Golf? What do you mean golf?" The winner was Tiger Woods. I'm like, "Who's Tiger Woods? Who the heck is Tiger Woods? Put this guy in the boxing ring. Come on, golf. Are you serious? Golf?" And now, after all these years, who I found who Tiger Woods was, now I bow down and I'm so thankful to be right behind him. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was actually, Pete Sampras was one underneath me. I beat Pete Sampras as well, the famous tennis player. But beat Pete Sampras, but Tiger Woods at the time didn't know who he was, didn't know the name. I'm like, "What kind of name is Tiger Woods? Like, golf?" Oh,
wow.
My goodness. Now I'm like so thankful.
But look at him today. Yeah, it says it all, right? One of the greatest golfers ever.
That was his top. That was 1997, was his first year. He came out. He was young. I came out that year as well. But he was, thing about it was he was a pro, and I was an amateur, and I still was up there with him. But at the same time, it was hard for me to put in my mind I was beat out by golf. Then again, it's Tiger Woods, so hey. I'm 100% okay with that.
So, you know, in reading about you, you're at the top of your game all the way up to about 1999, and then all of a sudden you are jolted into your whole career was jolted. Your life was jolted. I mean, you went through some tremendous trial because you had an injury that ended your chances of competing at the 2000 Olympics. Can you tell us about that? What was it that was all about?
Yeah, this was in 1999. I started having headaches. It was actually towards the end of 98. These slight, small headaches came. But I was still winning. Then come 1999, headaches came a little more, and it was just really, really pulling on my mind. I was like, wow. I told my coach, and so right before the Olympic trials in 1999, we went ahead and got an MRI, performed my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And now right before this, I just had beaten the guy in 1999 who was a USA Olympian. At my weight division, which was 132 pounds. I just had beaten this guy. But fast forward to my injury. So then when they found bruising all over my brain, it just, career was over right there. Doctors went, my whole team was shocked. I was shocked. And I didn't even know it because I wasn't one to get hit that much. And it was,
wow.
It just happened. And so it was really, really, really down. And it was like the doctors, they told me on the phone, after they sent me home, they called me and just reminded me, "Listen, Jason, we told you, you cannot do nothing." I'm like, they did not want me to do a push-up. They want me to jog. They want me to do anything. I'm like, all I can do was walk. They told me, all you can do is walk, Jason, because they called me and just to stay on top of me. I'm like, walk? I'm like, that was so, so, so hard. It was just so difficult for my body.
News.
Oh my goodness, I can only walk. I can only walk slowly at that. I'm like, come on. I'm like, wow. I went from the top, and now it's like, it was very difficult. Very difficult to go through at that time. Because I went from, I was moved to Las Vegas in 97 when I was number one. And I had a bodyguard when I was 17 years old. And I had so many different things coming my way. It was amazing. It was like, wow. It was so amazing. Then all of a sudden, I cannot box any longer.
Do the doctors contribute that to the trauma to head injuries, or is that what they're going to tell us?
Yes, that's what it was, because actually during sparring, because in the gym you always have to spar. Spar is when you box in the ring for practice. And whenever I got in the ring, whoever I sparred against, they were always trying to go at 100% with me because I was so talented, so good, they had to be on their game. They would do dirty things to me. Whether they hit me in the back of the head, I was hitting the back of the head a few times. That hurt really, really bad. I had a lot of headaches from being hit in the back of the head a few times. And that was and that's what contributed the headshots, the back to head, and just put that together, and they just said, Jay, your boxing career, that's it.
Okay, so how old were you when this took place?
That was when I was 19 years old.
19 years old.
Yeah,
wow.
And then...
So you went through rehab for how long then?
Well, from right there, they just... all it was, they wanted me to 100% rest, just rehab and rest. And but it was like in my mind, I was like, after a month went by, my brain... Everything felt great. I had this hunger. I wanted to box still. It was hard for me to have someone tell me that I could not box. What I wanted, all my dreams, what I prayed for my whole entire life to box. So it was so hard. So that was in 99. After so fast forward a couple years, I'm doing great. I'm like I started training again. I felt great, really, really, really good. My body felt great. I wanted to box again. So I went and had another MRI. On my brain. And actually, the doctors, they said I'm okay. They gave me a pass to professional.
Really?
So I
wow.
I was able to turn professional. And the doctor said I was okay. And so now I'm back in the ring again. Oh my goodness, I got my second chance. Here I go. I turned professional. And my first fight, I dominated. It was great. And then it was so good on my second fight, they put me on TV. It was Friday night fight. On ESPN TV.
Really?
And
really?
I won. Yes. It was so great, and I won by knockout. Second round knockout. And I was so excited. I'm back on my game, feeling great, amazing. And then they moved on to my third match. And my third match, I felt just, I'm on game again. My career is about to take off. Up until my fourth fight. And in professional, all I had was four fights as a professional.
Okay.
And before my fourth fight, I'm preparing for it. Then I had a little break. So I took a little break, a little month off the rest of my body. I received a phone call. Boxing state of Washington, and they said, Jason, take this fight because there's a big contract you can get. Win this fight, and you'll be set. Jay, your life, your whole career will be set. You're gonna be set with a big sponsorship contract. It's all going to be set. But the thing about it was, the fight's a week away, Jason. I'm like, what? Week away? In boxing. So I was a little heavy at the time. I was actually, they wanted me to box at 130 pounds. And this time I'm weighing 150 pounds right now.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly. I decided just to rest my body a little bit. Yes. And so... The deal, it was really, really crazy because I actually, in the 4 days before my fight, I ended up losing 4 days, 20 pounds in 4 days I lost.
You actually did it. You did it.
I lost 20 pounds in 4 days because the guy I matched up against was a guy with a losing record, and they said, Jason, this guy, you can knock him out any day of the week, twice on Sunday. It's just a match set up to where you're going to get a win and you're going to look good. And then after that, you'll sign a contract because there's sponsors there that are going to watch you, and they know your background, everything, how you're a former world champ, this and that. So I had lost 20 pounds in 4 days. Now, at my size, 150 pounds, 130, that's not good on your brain.
It's not good for your body. We get the brain.
Brain, body, that's for, yeah, exactly, that's not good for anything. Yes, so... By the time I made it up there and I lost this weight, my body was so weak. And the thing, the other bad thing about it was, in professional boxing, you weigh in and you box the next day. You get a 24-hour rest till your match. So I figured I make the weight, I can hydrate, get myself well enough so I can box the next day. But this, at least this, in this state of Washington, the thing was, it was like the last time they did this, you weigh in and you fight the same day.
No.
So it was like I weighed in, and I actually had to be preparing for my match 3 hours later.
Wow.
So that was
what,
not
what
good.
Did you
was
do?
Not,
I mean, how could you can't even rehydrate that quick.
No. After I made the weight, They took me to went to a restaurant to get a bite to eat, and I still remember. I ordered big pancakes and oatmeal, and I actually took one spoon of oatmeal and one slice of pancakes once, and that was it. I was full. That was it. I couldn't fit nothing in my stomach. My stomach had shrunk so much, and that was it. Yeah, and so from there, it was difficult. Went back to my hotel room, and I figured, try to sleep, take a quick shower, and then head over to the fight where the boxing matches were. And it was hard, Alan. So I went back to my room.
Not like giving you the heads up. Wow.
Yeah, so then I'm back in my hotel room. I slept for 2 hours of sleep. Then I have an hour left. So I hopped in the shower, and when I was in the shower, my head started hurting so bad. I had those headaches. That came back again. I didn't tell my coach. I didn't want to tell him because, first of all, before this match, my coach knew about it, that I had to lose this weight. And he said, Jason, he was my coach since I first started boxing. He's like my spiritual father. He's like me. That's like my most important person in my life. That my coach. We built such a bond. And it was like he told me, Jason, I'm not going. I'm not gonna go. I'm not going, because he knew I was not gonna. It was my body was not gonna be there. So he said, Jason, I'm not going. And I begged him to go. I said, his nickname is Pops, Andy Pops Anderson. And I told him, Pops, I need you there. I need you. I begged him. And he said, okay, I'll go. Basically, he went there just to make sure I was going to be okay. Mm. And so, once again, these headaches, I'm taking a shower, these headaches, they were so bad. And
are these like migraine headaches?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah, and so then now I'm at the fights preparing right before my match, and the headaches were there. I didn't tell my coach. I said, I'm fine, and I got up in the ring, and the match, it only went one round. I had to walk away because during the match, I was able to hit the guy a couple times, but he actually, the first punch he threw, he missed, but he skinned the side of my head, and it hurt so bad. It hurt. Mm. And I was like, oh, and then he touched me again, and I had to go down and take a knee, and it just hurt so bad. I couldn't understand why my head hurt so bad. And I got up, and he touched me again, and I went down, and I said, okay. I got up and then walked to my corner. That was it. I couldn't do it anymore. I was in so much pain. And from there, when I came back to Las Vegas, I had another MRI performed on my brain. And the doctors, they said they found so much bruising all over my brain again. They said, "If Jason, if you ever get hit in the head again, you could die. So make your choice, Jason." My career was over, finally.
Wow, 100% came to an end.
Yes.
At that time, at least at that time. Here you are today, and you're doing so much better. If I can, I'm going to stop you again, Jason, just for a second, just go over to our sponsors here. And this kind of fits right in with what you are all about. Everyone wants to eat right, maintain healthier lifestyles. Whether you're a busy mom or you want to feed your children on the go, busy traveler, trying to stay fit, an active boomer, keeping up with the grandkids, unfortunately, maintaining a balanced nutritional diet is often a challenge. And most of us suffer from a daily fruit and vegetable consumption gap as a result. We have something that may help you in this area. Whole food-based nutrition of Juice Plus that includes juice powder concentrates from 30 different fruits, vegetables, grains, and berries. Juice Plus helps bridge the gap between what you should eat and what you don't get every day. It's not a multivitamin, medicine, or treatment, or cure of a disease. Juice Plus is made from highest quality, carefully monitored from a farm to capsule to provide natural nutrients for your body to be at its best. If you can't, won't, or don't get enough fruits and vegetables, berries every day, you should consider supporting your body with Juice Plus. Check out the website, energynutrition.net. Wow. Man. Could you actually gather up, Jason, enough energy to even think about what just happened to you? I mean, what were you thinking? How did you feel about what you just were told?
Well, it was very difficult because since I was young, since I always wanted to be so successful, especially as a boxer, and to be a world champ, and financially successful, help out my family, and just live a complete, fulfilled life, success financially, and everything. It was like, but the main thing, I wanted to be a world champion, and that was my goal. I prayed, that's what I want to do. And I trained so hard, I gave it all I had, and when I was told that, Jason, you cannot box any longer, your career's over, it hurt so bad inside. It was like, so with my faith in God, that's where my faith lies at. It was like, I didn't understand. It was very, very, very difficult. And so what happened was, at this time, the doctors, they had placed me on medication because I suffered from seizures.
You know, I'm sorry, we're cutting out a little bit, Jason. Watch your bars on your phone. Said something about doctors doing something.
Yes, yes. So what happened was, I suffered through seizures for 7 years.
Whoa, 7 years?
7 years. Because I was placed on medication. The doctors placed me on medication, and I suffered through seizures, daily seizures, and it was real, real, real difficult because they really took a big toll on my brain. Mm. And it was so hard to live my life the way I wanted to, because I couldn't. So... But it was like 7 years goes by, and come 2010, the doctors, they performed another MRI on my brain, and they said actually my brain was looking okay, to where they took me off the medication. Yeah, they took me off the medication and said, your brain's okay. And during this time, what the medication did, the side effects were on the medication were just, it was just horrible, because one of the side effects, it takes away your emotion inside. Doesn't give you emotions. I mean, another one was hair loss, memory loss, eyesight slightly blind, and so the side effects are horrible. So when I was removed from this medication, it was like, wow, it was like, I have feelings in my body, I see, I'm like, I felt amazing, completely amazing. And once again, I'm living my life happy to the fullest, and fast forward 2 years, come 2012, that's where my mother was visiting one day, and while at my apartment where I was staying at, something happened. From this point on, I was seizure-free for 2 years, doing great, a body, amazing health. I suffered through 8 seizures, and I went unconscious.
Oh, man.
And
wow.
So my mother was there. She dragged me, put me in her car, and then she rushed me to the emergency room. And the doctors, they had they were going through different tests. They had to shock my body because with the trauma medication, because I was not gonna. That's the only thing they could do. And what it did was it put me into a coma.
Wow.
For a couple of days, they told my mother that you're not. I will wake up, but they don't know how I'll be. 99.9% will be okay, but they said all the possibilities that so much damage on his brain could happen. I mean, it's just bad. So 3 days later, when I woke up, 3 days later, the doctors. This is where they had a. I was fine. My brain was okay, but I could not walk. All my balance, my lower body was pretty much gone. And they had to teach me to walk again.
Really?
Yeah, that was, it was real difficult. I remember, really, really, really difficult. It was like, my mind was there inside my body. I knew what was happening, but it was like my body, I just physically, it hurt because I wanted to run, jump, talk, everything, and I just could not. And I was held inside my body, held captive inside my body, and it was so difficult. And so what happened was that the doctors, they sent me home with crutches and a walker. And I was home on the third morning. After I woke up on the third morning, that's when I received a miracle. All my balance, all my walk, all my talk, everything came back to me again. And I was,
really?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I shouted out loud. I praised God. I was so happy, so thankful. Oh, my life. The doctors have no explanation. I said, I do. I do. I never.
Yeah, divine intervention has something to do with it, right?
I never lost faith. Never lost faith. I knew it. And I knew it. I told everybody
beautiful.
One day. And so now,
and now you're living
life.
Your life to the full.
I sure am. Oh, that's why I'm so happy, filled with joy so much. And
you are. One of the intriguing things about having you on as our guest here is that, one of the things about Arming Champions is we're always looking for athletes who are giving back. And, you have an amazing part. You're giving back by demonstrating boxing to people that can afford it, that can't afford it. I mean, you're a personal trainer. You've trained some of the most well-known MMA UFC fighters there are. People like Dana White, if anybody's familiar with the UFC president, Dana White, the UFC's co-owner, Frank Ferretta, that's his name, I'm pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, Frank or Lorenzo Fertitta, yeah, they're the owners.
Fertitta, unbelievable. Ed Bernstein, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now you're at the place where it looks like they're going to do an autobiography on you.
Yes.
And that's in the works right now as we speak. I think you told me in the next couple of days you're going to be doing something with that.
That's correct. Yes. Yes. And I'm so excited to share my life, share my testimony to others. I live by faith and never giving up. Keep your faith and never give up.
It's awesome. Now, are you available, as I was reading your bio, are you available to have you come and speak at various places, churches, auditoriums, things like that?
Yes, that's what I do. I do sometimes do public speaking, whether it's auditoriums, whether it's at churches. And I enjoy it, just once again sharing my testimony to help others, and I do that.
You know, these next questions might be kind of interesting to hear from you, especially. Obviously, your biggest accomplishment is I don't know. You tell me what would you say your biggest accomplishment is? Because I can guess, but. What's your biggest accomplishment there, Jason?
My biggest my faith has led me to, in my boxing career, I achieved so much. In my martial arts, I've achieved so much. In life, I've achieved so much, and I'm so thankful because my biggest accomplishment is I'm healthy and strong enough to help another person out. Every time I help somebody
I love
out,
you put that.
That's my biggest joy. Biggest joy is, and it comes from it's inside my inside that I feel it's so great when I'm able to help another life out, and that's my biggest accomplishment. Not the awards I won, not the trophies I won. No, it's when I get help another person out. I get back this inner joy. It's amazing, and that's my biggest accomplishment. I put that above
anything. That sounds
like
the key to your success, right there. You took the question away from me in a sense. Let me get down to something because, you and I are athletic, we're professionals at what we do, and, I know hundreds of people around the world, the same as you, lots of people, but when it comes to diet and athletic performance, walk us through what it was like for you. What was your diet like? What is it that you actually fueled your body with as you were an up-and-coming athlete? Once you got the concept that that diet was important. What did you fuel your body with?
Well, it was they wanted me on a good protein, good carbs, good fats. It was all around. They need my body to be at full strength 24/7, and because my training was all throughout the day, I needed to fill my body up. Because once again, your body's like a gas tank. If there's no food in my body, then I have nothing to burn off. Because I'm burning off so much, so I filled my body up with fish, with a lot of proteins, with chicken, and with vegetables, a lot of fruit. And that was so important. So important.
Now, do you remember how many calories you were taking every day? How many calories were you consuming?
Oh, my goodness. I had boosted up because I was burning so much. I mean, oh my goodness, I can't even over. It was 2,000. I mean, it was over. I mean,
you weighed 150. You weighed 150 pounds, and you're consuming about 2,000 calories.
Yeah. Actually, I was down. Started off. I was number one at 125 pounds. Then I stepped up to 132 pounds. I became number one at that division as well. And eating was so important.
Wow.
But it was in that. Yeah. So, but I was always staying focused. And focus was whether I'm in the gym or outside the gym. I had to put the best, because I learned from Oscar Del Hoya. He said, Jason, you have to put the best in your body in order to get best out of your body. So
I love it. Oscar Del Hoya quote. There you go.
Yeah,
you mentioned three of the major things that everybody needs. You don't have to just be an athlete, and that is called macronutrients, which are carbs, proteins, and fats. The one that people missed out on today, which is going to lead me to talking to our next sponsor, is micronutrients, the vitamins, minerals, including trace elements that come from fruits, vegetables, and grain. And they are so, so important, as you know, Jason. They play a crucial role in our human nutrition and prevention of disease, prevention of damage we do to our bodies, overall for optimum physical and mental health. So if I could just give a shout-out again to our sponsors here, and it fits right in line with this, there's a growing concern about herbicides and pesticides. We see this in farming, urban farming, the local war movement, organic produce. Well, there's something that can help anybody that's actually looking at taking control of what they put in their body. With the Tower Garden, it's a vertical aeroponic gardening tower, perfect for the rooftops, patios, balconies, terraces, just about relatively any place where there's sun. And now, because of the grow light system, you can even have them indoors. People are finding huge benefits to growing vertically, using 90% less water and no soil. Imagine producing your fruits, vegetables, herbs, flowers, producing more colorful, better tasting, better smelling, incredibly nutritious produce. These towers have gained a lot of attention through the media. You need to check out this website and find out what it's all about. TheTowerGardens.com is that. So that led me to another thought for you, Jason, about a lot of people are into popping pills. We're talking tablets, capsules, liquids, powders. And I don't know if you were ever into this sort of thing, but when and if you did choose to take some supplement of some kind, some vitamin, how did you choose? Was it price? Was it packaging? Was it a referral? Was it science? What was it that made the decision to actually take what you did take?
Well, when I was a USA boxer, we had different sponsors. We were sponsored by different companies, from everything from Everlast to Adidas to Powerade, different things. So we had our food, everything, supplements that were taken care of. And they basically said the best thing, first of all, is to get the food, proper food to your body, because that's where you get all your vitamins. The reason why you take supplements is because we don't eat all the proper foods we need to eat. And it's not always easy. And So it was always recommended by my personal trainer on what different multivitamins, what I would take in my body, that I need to get a little extra instead of because I had me on a good plan and my eating plan, but they would always point out different things for me to take extra on the side, and once again was Juice Plus, fruits and vegetables, the pills. They helped out so much as well. So Juice Plus played a big part, and I recommend that so much, Juice Plus, because it has helped me out in my career so much. And that
you'll
was
be
big,
one
up.
Of the thousands of athletes around the world that actually will say that. Olympic athletes themselves have been taking Juice Plus for years, and nobody really knows about it. So you're one of the voices there, Jason.
I've taken that when I was a boxer, when I started off at in 1997.
Wow.
Starting off in 1997, yes. So Juice Plus has played a part, and so thankful because my strength. It was just amazing. I felt so much stronger, quicker, faster.
Hey, you know, it leads me to another question, because it's important for athletes of all sports. How important is water compared to other fluids like sports, energy drinks, vitamin water, coconut water? What role does water play in your athletes and in you as an athlete?
Water is so important. It's so important. It's the best thing for your body. Water. We need water. So much water. And before workouts, after workouts, during workouts, in the morning, before you go to bed, at night, all throughout the day, water is what you need. And there's so many, even these days with everybody, they're always finding everything outside of water or something added in the water. First of all, drink your water. That played a big part. That just replenished me and refreshed me, and it's so healthy for your body.
So you put water, it sounds to me like
strength.
Way above sports and energy drinks and vitamin water.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I won't get close to sports energy drinks, no, because it's water. You want to go natural? Water.
Beautiful.
That's the best way. Nothing.
We're going to start wrapping this up, so I got another question for you. I want you to think about this before you answer. What was the best advice you were ever given, and who was it that actually gave you that advice?
Well, I'll tell you, I was given advice twice. The very first time I stepped in the boxing ring, going back to the first time I ever boxed in the ring, that was the very first advice that I received. Not the best advice, a little different, but I'll tell you what, it's kind of funny. I'm going to give you two advices, one that I live by and one that I was given. The one that I was given, the first one when I got in the ring, that my coach said, I said, Coach, I'm in the ring, my first time, Coach, what do I do? You know what he told me, Alan? He said, Jason, keep your hands up and your butt off the canvas and you'll be okay. I'm sitting there like, oh, wow. That was the very first advice I ever received. But then again, with my coach, who's like my spiritual father, Andy Pops Anderson. Jason,
awesome.
At all times, keep your faith. Faith, wisdom, put them together, Jason, because it'll take you a long, long way. A long way. Everything you're doing, be very smart. I want you to learn to be very open-minded. Very open, but at the same time, be very smart-minded. Open-minded and smart-minded, use faith and use wisdom. Because as the years go by, you gain wisdom and gain knowledge. You put that together, Jason, and you'll be able to help so many, because I know that's what you want to do. And that's how I'm able to help
that's
others.
Beautiful. Now, you had the opportunity of meeting one of the greatest boxers of all time, Muhammad Ali. Did you get to ask him any questions? I mean, man, if I met someone like that, I probably wouldn't let him go. But did you get a chance to converse with him and pick his brain and get some wisdom from him?
Yes, actually, that was a big highlight in my career. 1997, when I just came off of winning the USA Nationals, I was ranked number one. I represent the United States in my division called the Muhammad Ali International World Boxing Championship Tournament. And
okay.
And so it was held in Louisville, Kentucky, Ali's hometown. And
yep.
I represented in my division, and I won the gold medal in my division. It was amazing. I received the gold medal. And now after the tournament was over, there's 12 divisions in amateur boxing, from lightweight to heavyweight. And so there's 12 gold medals. And then all the judges from around the world, they all, including Ali and different people, they had on the board, they decided who gets the award of MVP at the tournament, which is called the Ali Cup. They announced my name as Ali Cup champion.
Oh, wow.
They call me to the ring. Ali puts a medal around my neck, gives me a kiss on my cheek, and we're arm in arm taking pictures. It was amazing. And from there, we walked outside the ring, and I'm next to Ali. We're signing autographs. Me and Ali are signing autographs next to each other. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm 7 years old. The one I looked up to, my career. Me and him, and kids were coming up to me. Hey, can I get your autograph? I'm like, no, get his first. get Ali's first. Please.
Wow.
I'll tell you, from there, the thing about it was the following day, there was a big college football game, Penn State against Louisville State, Kentucky. And before
okay.
the game started, I was taken to the field. All the boxers were taken to the field on buses. Everybody in the tournament was taken to the field to watch the football game. But being that I was the MVP of the tournament, I was taken there on the limbo. I was taken to the field on the limbo. So then I walked to the sidelines, and before the game started, the mascot walked me to center field. Sold out. So many people. And all sold out on a car.
Did you say? I'm sorry, you cut out again. Did you say it was a sold out crowd?
Yeah, it was a sold out crowd. Amazing. And so the mascot walked me to center field, and then Ollie drove out on a car to the center field to meet me. And he walked out, and he walked up to me, put a medal around me, another kiss on my cheek, and we took pictures. It was just amazing. And I was like,
wow.
And from there, we went sat front row. It was me, Muhammad Ali, his best friend, Howard Bingman, and a bodyguard. And I'm sitting there next to Muhammad Ali. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? I'm like, I got to say something. So I bumped
into where's your mom and dad and all this? Were they there?
Oh, no, they're at home. Because I had they were at home. Yeah, they're at home watching me on TV. I'm next to Ali. I'm like, the one I looked up to, oh, my goodness, the top boxer in my mind, greatest boxer, the greatest. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I had some peanuts, so I'm like, I bumped him on the shoulder. I said, Mr. Ali, I said, do you want some peanuts? And next thing you know, Ali's going slowly. He has Parkinson's disease, so he was very slowly. He's reached into my bag. I'm sharing peanuts with Muhammad Ali. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, wow. I'm like, then I'm sitting there. I got to say something. So I bumped him on the shoulder. I said, Mr. Ali, I want to tell you something. I want to thank you. My faith in God Almighty blessed me so much. So much. My Lord and Savior, God Almighty, you blessed me here. And I want to thank you for being here. And you know what, Mr. Ali, he leaned over to me and he whispered in my ear. He said, Jason, he whispered very slowly. He said, Jason, in your life, you're doing amazing right now. In your boxing career, you're at your top. You're the best right now. But in your career, hard times.
Wait, you got to repeat that. I can't hear it.
Okay. He said, Jason, in your career, you're doing amazing right now. But I want to let you know something. Like in my life, hard times are coming into your future. They're going to try to break you down. They're going to try to shut you down. But whatever you do, Jason, whatever you do during these hard times, if you want happiness, if you want that, when these hard times come your way, try to shut you down, whatever you do, never lose your faith. You told me that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
A couple years
went
by. That's when I went through everything. Throughout all those years, I never lost my faith. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah,
to this day.
And that's real clear as day that you have never lost faith, not only in yourself, your coaches, your trainers, but obviously in God himself. And Jesus as your Savior, that's pretty clear. And what a testimony
yes.
you have been to just anybody that comes within earshot of your voice and of your life. It's just so beautiful. And I'll tell you what, I'm really grateful to you, my friend, for taking an hour out of your busy schedule to talk to us here on Army Champions Radio. I wish you all the best. God bless you, my friend. Let's stay in touch. And I definitely, and the world wants to hear the autobiography of Jason Ingelson. Take care, my friend.
Always. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.